Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, got Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. That's right. It's the best version of Nerd Up. I don't know.
It's the two-man power trip.
There you go.
I'm getting my wrestling reference in early, and now we can be done with it.
See, I didn't even know there was a wrestling reference.
When Triple H and Stone Cold teamed up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which one am I?
You can be Stone Cold. This was Reign of Terror Triple H. Like, this was bad Triple H.
Oh, yeah. That's unfortunate. I always did like Triple H a little bit, too. Though I was never really a WWF fan.
Yeah.
Because I think that was still WWF. That may have been E at that point, though.
I don't know. I am not familiar enough with that timeline.
Whenever it changed over.
Dates in general. Because that could have been 5 years ago. I know it wasn't. Like, it was like, the Shield's been around since, like, 1994. Like, that doesn't sound right, but okay.
Time is a weird thing.
I'm not good at it. Maybe that's why I hate time travel so much. Because I just have
regular
no,
time
I have
already
no
confuses
gauge.
You.
Like, hey, remember a couple days ago when we were talking about things? Like, dude, that was, like, one of the first things you ever said to me. Like, oh.
So okay. Anyway, you remember that. All right. So starting off here, Disney, they're going to keep R-rated Marvel movies.
Yes.
CEO Bob Iger said that, specifically referring to Deadpool, that any Marvel properties coming from Fox will remain M-rated, like if they were already M-rated.
Could remain. Like he was very kind of like specific about coulds and wills.
Not using absolutes.
Right.
But either way, I mean, if the CEO like said that it's probably going to happen, then it's probably going to happen. I guess unless Kevin Feige says no,
right?
Since he is the what's the word I'm looking for?
The czar, the king of the
Marvel properties in Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Though I imagine like he's probably okay with the what is that noise? Anyway, he's probably okay with the R-rated stuff. Just
especially if that rumor of Black Widow getting an R-rated movie.
Right. Like I said, he's probably okay with the R-rating stuff. It probably is Disney as a corporation that would be against it. So.
Yeah. And because that one part of that, not interview, but because it was like an investor call.
Mm.
One of the things that he mentioned is, you know, Deadpool has a very established fan base. It was very successful.
Extremely.
For what it was, and it was R-rated, so they would, of course, you know, be open to continuing that trend, stuff coming out of Fox, as long as it was branded.
Made it very clear.
Yeah, made it very clear that this is a separate, yes, it is a Marvel property, but this isn't Captain America, this isn't your, and that's something that, like, I think I talked about, talking about the Black Widow thing of, I think they would want to very clearly, have that very clear messaging.
Basically make sure that like this particular one is not catered towards children. Right. Like, do not bring your kids to this one. Not family friendly.
Which, and even like, as much as Deadpool lends itself to that R rating, and boy did Fox use it masterfully, Once Upon a Deadpool kind of proved that you can get around that.
You can.
Like, they're like, yeah, you missed out on some stuff. Like, Juggernaut ripping him in half was amazing, and that was pretty much done entirely off camera.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of the problem, though, with, like, a lot of the reason that was successful is because we knew what actually happened.
Right.
Like, we had, you know, we had already seen it. Granted, like, it still isn't a far push to figure out what was happening there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it was the comedic value of, like, how they did it that made it successful.
And the fact that it's Deadpool, he could always do, like, he could do, like, an Elaine in The Good Place.
Oh, yeah.
Holy forking shirt ball. Why can't I say fork? Fork. Just that kind of, like, him acknowledging the fact that now he has these restraints that they have to follow.
That would be really, really interesting. Or no, he would just make a joke with it, like, oh, no, wait, the Disney guys don't like that. You know, use his one swear word that you get in a PG-13, and then he's like, oh, wait, no, the Disney guys don't like that. And,
I still want to go to the Reddit thing where it's him, like, him and Wolverine are finally in the same movie. And so this whole time, he's like, I can't say the F word. I can't say the F word. I have to save it for a real big moment. Then something crazy happens, and he gets excited, and then Logan lets out the, oh. And he drops it, and Deadpool just loses his mind.
Yeah, no, I need to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Also, tangentially related, someone posted 5 actors I want to see play Wolverine in the MCU, and it was just 5 images of Hugh Jackman. Same internet.
Now, to be fair, we also had come to another conclusion about Wolverine with Tom Hardy.
Yeah. I don't know. He's got that Venom stink on him, though.
Well.
And him in a great movie would be interesting.
All right, hold up. You talk about stink on people. Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Was Johnny Storm.
Withdrawn. I didn't see that, though. I avoided that. I didn't step in that particular pile, so I wasn't carrying around that stink with me.
I got you. Yeah, so I'm sure you saw the first Fantastic Four movie, though, with Chris Evans as Johnny Storm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, like, I understand that, but if they do a good enough job, which Marvel has proven that they can with, like, everything, then I'm sure that stink will go away.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so, you know, I would absolutely love to see Tom Hardy
but
as Wolverine.
If we could get, like, an R-rated Wolverine movie, or give us an X-Force movie. Just take the people that were left in Deadpool 2, add Logan. That's all I need.
Yeah, there's your X-Force. Domino, Logan, and Wolverine with Cable.
And X-Force and Colossus and Super Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah, I mean, you can add them. But
no, I like them.
I do, too. Colossus has been in X-Force before, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he has. Everyone's been in X-Force.
That's true, at some point.
It's like the X-Men.
Especially because it started out as just like a tracking team, and then it turned into a kill team.
Right, and then it's we can take care of this.
They're the Black Ops team at some point. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what's happening there. So for those of you that have worried about it, like, it's looking extremely likely that Deadpool and all of those properties will stay M-rated.
Moment of silence.
More on something similar later. all right, so sticking with some MCU news, Taika Waititi, there have been rumors that he's going to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3. He shut those down real hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening.
And it was actually kind of a like nice sentiment of, no, that's James's movie. It would feel weird stepping into that.
It became one of those things, like, I hadn't heard any of those rumors until I heard about him saying, no, it's not happening. And then I realized I want that.
Right, because Thor Ragnarok was essentially just Guardians of the Galaxy 2.5.
A little bit. And yeah, and he did such a good job with that movie. I loved Thor Ragnarok so much. And I would absolutely love to see him direct a Guardians movie, but I understand why he wouldn't. Like, they're going to have a lot of trouble finding directors this film.
Yeah.
Especially directors that have already been involved in the MCU. They're going to have a little bit of trouble, I think, finding those directors.
Because they'll have that respect for James Gunn.
Yep.
There was, in that same article, there was a couple of other names that had been kind of rumored. I don't remember any of them. But Chris Pratt, in part of the press tour for Lego Movie 2, has said that the current plan is that they will be using James Gunn's script.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because I mean, there
know,
was.
Man, the more I think about it, I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
I mean, there were two people that talked about walking out. Like, I think it was
Batista.
It was definitely Pratt was the other one that said they would walk out if they didn't use James Gunn's script. It may not have been Pratt.
If that's the case, like, that's something that they're pushing for because they want to use, because they know James Gunn wrote this amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
Then okay, like, that's totally fair. But at the same time, it feels like, you know, someone who isn't James Gunn who doesn't have that same vision using his work, and that could feel.
Yeah, that could make a lot of things feel weird, because it's especially like whenever you see products like that come up and you're like, okay, well, they did this, but clearly I think that the writer meant for it to go differently.
Right.
Because I even saw that in some of the Marvel Netflix stuff, where it's like certain scenes and certain lines where I can't remember any specifics, but it happened a lot in Luke Cage, I think, because they had different directors for a bunch of the episodes in Luke Cage season 2. And there were more than a few of them that I was like, that's not how the writer, I think, saw that scene happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and I could see that happening a whole lot in Guardians 3. So,
it's still happening, apparently.
Yeah, I just really wish that Disney would be like, all right, you know what?
We done goofed.
Jimmy Gunn, come on back. Except now he's got Suicide Squad, so he's like, I got WB money, which is chump change compared to MCU money.
I mean,
but
the amount I see. The base pool, I will agree with. Maybe. I don't know enough about finances. Maybe WB's just sitting on, like,
a
space
mine.
Mountain size. Yeah, just made of gold. But yeah, I mean, they are throwing money at him.
No, absolutely.
Like, I am sure he is making comparable to what Disney was paying him already.
No, almost certainly. Just yeah, the pool that's there to work with, I think, is what I was referring to.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Disney, just bring come on back. Here's an extra $1 jillion for pain and suffering.
But granted, WB's probably still pulling a dumb amount of money on stuff. Oh, like,
yeah, because those movies are all like
and,
super successful, and I mean
and that too.
Aquaman's gonna hit $1 billion, or did hit $1 billion international. So
yeah, and like honestly, WB's got some good stuff coming out of here. We got Justice League versus the Fatal Five trailer that hit.
I watched this and it dawned on me: I don't think I've ever heard of the Fatal Five. I know you're looking at me like I'm insane right now.
No, I'm trying to think of like where I've heard of the Fatal Five, because I have heard of them, but then mm-hmm. I was watching the trailer for it and I'm like, I don't really recognize any of these people.
Okay,
except they brought Jessica Cruz into it.
Yeah, which was weird because she was introduced in Forever Evil, and I don't think that's been one that's been...
No, they've kind of like they're bringing characters from comic books into these animated movies, because this is part of... Well, no, I don't think this is part of their like main continuity,
mm-hmm.
because Bruce Timm is executive producing this one. And it's in the Bruce Timm art style,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really cool. And Kevin Conroy's coming back as Batman.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I was one that I haven't bought any of those animated DC ones. I've seen a lot of them, but they're really, really good. And I've enjoyed the vast majority of the ones that I've seen.
Yeah, no, they hit more than they miss, for sure, on the DC animated ones.
But I don't actively follow them, so I don't know what the timeline and continuity there is. So, yeah, but I didn't recognize any of the Fatal Five people. And Jessica Cruz, I know that was a Forever Evil story, because she took their Green Lantern's ring because it found someone who was like super afraid of everything. And Jessica Cruz is a very fascinating character. I really like her. Before I had to, you know, trim down on my pull list, that Green Lantern's book with Simon Baz and her was really good, and I really like their dynamic and her having to overcome her fear as opposed to just being like super willful.
Because the whole Green Lantern thing is like you were able to overcome great fear, mm-hmm. and yeah. But anyway, you know, it's because it looks like they're running almost a Deadpool 2 story of like these people are coming from the future to take out Jessica Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody called her Limelight at some point. Like everybody knows Limelight. And I don't know like what their exact goal is for that. But yeah, it seems like they came in the past specifically to take out Jessica Cruz, and the Justice League is like, well, no, like we're not gonna let you just kill somebody,
right,
for something they did in the future, like,
mm-hmm.
And that seems kind of the story they're going with. But yeah, like I said, I don't think that this is in the current like that universe's canon of movies.
They haven't done a Forever Evil animated movie, have they?
Mm-mm.
Okay,
not that I'm aware of. Like, granted, they come out pretty frequently now, and I do miss a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
I found out recently there's a whole Aquaman one, like a something of Atlantis that came out a little while ago that I missed.
Hmm.
But like the last three that I knew of were there was the Suicide Squad one, the Suicide Squad 2, and then there was the two Superman ones,
mm-hmm.
Which I just bought Reign of the Supermen. Which is obviously the sequel of Death of Superman. I haven't watched it yet, but I did pick it up at the Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I need to watch that one. By the way, as far as I know, they haven't done Forever Evil or anything like that.
I don't think they have. Because I don't think they've touched on anything quite that recent. Because Forever Evil is just a few years old at this point.
And honestly, I think the last one that was in that actual like canon, Suicide Squad 2 is technically in the canon, but it's not related to any of those actual characters.
It was like a side story.
Yeah. The last one that I remember they did in that actual canon was the Judas Contract with Justice League versus the Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was just the Teen Titans. Oh, yeah. They had just the Teen Titans Judas Contract, and then before that they did Justice League versus the Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did the whole, like, Terra and everything, like, brought that in, did that entire storyline. But it got real weird in that one, which I guess it was kind of about that weird in the comic books. But instead of being hinted at, it was...
explicitly stated.
Yeah, and shown.
Of course it was.
Yeah, it was weird. That was real weird. Anyway, for the most part, though, those movies are solid. Like I said, more hits than misses. And this one looked great.
I like the Bruce Timm art style a lot.
Yes. Which, I know not everybody liked the last Bruce Timm movie. That was the Batman Harlequin film.
Yeah.
Dalton really disliked that one.
Yeah, because, well, again, that could have been like, I don't know. He just hates Harley Quinn. So that's not...
Yeah, he really does.
That kind of blind hatred is not going to be a reliable source for a review.
And there is a very minor, like, I hesitate to call it a romantic, but there is a thing going on between Harley and Nightwing at the beginning of the movie, and Dalton was just out for the rest of the movie after that.
Which, to be fair, Nightwing's hot.
Right? And so is Harley. Like, yeah. That's... Given the situation, it makes a little sense. It's not super creepy.
They've teased, like, her having a romantic involvement with pretty much the majority of the Bat family, I feel like. At least briefly.
At the very least, Bruce Dick,
for
and
sure.
Jason.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, not Damian, but...
No. Yeah. Or Tim, yeah. As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I don't know. And I can't recall, like, certain stories, but I know... But Bruce,
sorry,
for sure.
Rick. It's Rick now.
What other stories we got, Jesse?
Kevin Conroy is going to be Batman in that film, by the way, which makes me really happy.
Yeah, Kevin Conroy plus Bruce Timm just equals happy heart.
Yeah, doesn't matter what's going on the screen. Like, I'm going to enjoy it. Netflix and Nickelodeon are working together on a Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that will be separate from the TV show, which is confusing. They have the same name.
Okay, so there was something in that article I read that made it sound a little bit better, but I don't remember what it was now. Because I'm really bad about...
It was a very short article.
I'm really bad about, like, reading the article and then having, like, one takeaway from it and then being like, oh, yeah, I'll remember that for 5 days from now if it's, like, Monday or Tuesday when I actually read it.
I mean, I just read it today, and because it was a pretty short article, and because they don't have a whole lot of information about it yet, no release date or anything like that, just speculation on Nickelodeon trying to expand its horizons a little bit, and that's why they're teaming up with Netflix on this one. But that's the only thing I really saw, was that it will be separate from that continuity, which just, why give it the same name?
I think, okay, yeah, and maybe it's just because, like, the art style that they chose for the headline, it made me think that they're just making... It's a Ninja Turtles movie. Totally separate. But for whatever reason, they're calling it the same name as the ongoing animation. Like, the animated series.
Yeah.
Is what I thought that might have meant. In that we're just getting a whole new Turtles entity.
Yeah.
Not same animation style, not same character designs, like, but they're calling it...
Rise of the Teenage Mutant. Yeah, no, right. That's exactly what's happening. Is my understanding.
But then at the same time, like, when you read it, the way it sounded is, oh, they're making a Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Like, what they're taking all of the stuff from the current animated run, and they're just making, like, a side story movie.
No,
like, it doesn't tie into the anime. It is based on the current cartoon, but it's not going to be like a plot central, like, you have to watch it to understand what's going on before you jump into, like, season two or whatever.
Gotcha. No, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, an offshoot, like a non-canon offshoot. Like,
yeah.
They do that with, like, movies for cartoons all the time.
Right.
Particularly anime. But no, that's not what I was talking about. Yeah, no, it's very much going to be, like, it's going to have the same name as the cartoon, but it will not be...
The cartoon.
The cartoon. Like, it has nothing to do with that cartoon, which blows my mind. Call it anything else. You can just call it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Like, what? Why not? I mean, I guess there are other movies that have that name, but it's not like that's a real problem.
Yeah, if their reason is because they don't want to confuse people, so they're not using another name, that's stupid, because now you're using another name that's already being taken.
Yeah, exactly. And one that's being taken currently versus one that was last taken in the 90s. No, that's not true. It was just called TMNT in the aughts. When we got that terrible live-action movie. Which this is animated, by the way.
Yeah.
This is not live-action, even though I'm talking about it. Because, yeah, that one... Was that called... It was just TMNT, right? The one that released in the aughts?
Yes. Yeah, there was one that was just TMNT. That one had Patrick Stewart in it.
Yeah. And then the last live-action... The last movie that was just called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't the Michael Bay one?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. No, that had a subtitle.
Did it?
I think. I'm pretty sure.
Let me see what the... I'll look into that.
Yeah, while you're looking that up, I'll move on to the next story here. James Cameron got a little bit of news out of both Terminator and Avatar. looks like the new Avatar or the new Terminator movie.
It did not have a subtitle. The sequel had a subtitle.
Okay.
Which I don't remember what. Out of the Shadows.
Or something like
that. Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. So they did use it recently with just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
2014.
But either way, like, that's still, like, it like you pointed out, the argument doesn't really hold water if you're using one that is going currently.
Yeah, we don't want to confuse people with a different franchise.
Yeah, so somebody did not think that through. But either way, Dark Fate, that's going to be the new Terminator movie. It's going to feature a more hardened Sarah, which I wonder, like, which version at this point? Because we've had four in the Terminator canon. Like, are we talking like Terminator 2 Sarah Connor or Daenerys Connor? I don't know.
I'm a bad person for this because I don't care about Terminator.
Oh,
like at all. I liked the first two, and then everything else after that, I couldn't care because then it goes super deep into the time travel, and now we're completely redoing the timeline and. That's part of the timeline now, and I can't keep it straight, and I don't care to. And oh look, Arnold's gonna be
CG'd again.
Oh, but no, now he looks old because the organic modeling material that they based the get the white hot room. Just no.
Yeah, no. It's
I don't
it's,
care.
They have definitely tried over the last several movies to make me not a Terminator fan, but I just really liked Terminator 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those movies still hold up, in my opinion.
And I will watch those again.
I still very much enjoy them. So I watch each of these new Terminator movies hoping that will recapture that magic.
Daddy, no.
They don't. The most recent one actually wasn't that bad.
Like, that's the one that totally, like, they're, okay, hey, so everything you've watched in the last 12 years just didn't happen.
Yep.
Okay.
Which I actually did enjoy that movie quite, like, way more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. It's still got some weird time travel-y stuff and alternate timeline shenanigans going on, but it's not bad in my opinion. Like I said, I definitely enjoyed it quite a bit.
And it seems like that kind of was a good first step. Because, again, like, just because it's not for me doesn't mean that I, you know, hope it fails by any stretch, but
So, yeah, hopefully Dark Fate is actually good. I doubt it will be, because the track record has not been great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. And then the other bit of news from James Cameron, the Avatar sequels are, and I hate that it's sequels, because they're filming several of them concurrently.
Didn't one of the actors say he knew how 5 was going to end?
Yeah, because I think 5 is going to be finished before 2. I think.
I don't know. This is another one where it's just like, I would be a terrible host putting this because I would have just skipped this story because I don't care. I don't think this is going to be. I think now that, like, I don't see him making a franchise out of a movie spectacle. I just don't see is going to, like, hold up if the story's not there.
Because don't get me wrong, like, I was with the first Avatar movie, I actually liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that movie, and I was fascinated by the lore, and I wanted to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about that movie came out like what, 2008, 2009?
It's been a while.
I want to say 2009.
See, I thought I was in high school when it came out.
I was definitely in college, and I only know that
because 2009 film, yeah.
2009,
right.
Okay. I only know that for sure because I remember seeing it twice with one of my really good friends in college, and I didn't know him in high school. So either way, yeah, I really, really enjoyed that movie. I saw it once regularly, and then, like, I heard the 3D show. Like, we both watched it regularly, enjoyed it a lot. Then we had both heard that 3D was worth it, so we went and saw it a second time. And 3D was worth it. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful film in terms of, you know, what we're seeing on the screen. And yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, and I was really interested in the lore, and I was really upset that there is nothing else. Even the video game was just the movie over again.
Yeah.
And both of us were just like, we wanted to know more about it. So here we are 10 years later, and we still don't have a sequel, but we know they're working on sequels.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, no,
Also, full disclosure, like, in complete honesty, I'm still just bitter that he's like, yeah, he stated that he actively hopes that superhero burnout happens. as I make a as I'm working on 5 sequels.
Need you to watch Future Man. They trash James Cameron so hard in that show. And I need you to watch enjoy it.
I want, like, there's so much. Again, we talked about it on Tuesday. Just, I am overwhelmed
by the amount of
media. I have the potential to consume.
Future Man needs to be higher on the list. Just next time you're like, what should I do? Mm-hmm. Future Man. Because
Hulu runs like crap on my TV, though.
Oh.
Which
Wait,
is a bummer.
Why?
I don't know. The ads run fine. And then once the show actively starts, there's like a 30-70 shot.
Even on your new TV?
On my new TV.
You watching on your Xbox? Or are you watching on Chromecast?
Neither. I have it's a smart TV.
Oh. Try it on your Xbox.
And it's the only app that I have trouble with. On that TV.
This is terrible for podcast, but we'll talk about it later. But anyway, Future Man. Oh my God, it's so good. Season 2 wrapped up, released not too long ago. And
I see the ads for it.
So good.
Like, there's no more killing people. I can't work with this guy. Like, that's funny. It gets me a chuckle. And I know we always forget her name.
Eliza Coop.
I love her.
Yeah, now that we know about, like, that we're forgetting it, I remember it. Mm-hmm. You know, Eliza Coop is wonderful and phenomenal in that show. The show is just so good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Avatar sequels. They're going to start filming live action sequences in the spring in New Zealand, which I guess leads me to believe that they have been, I guess, already working on a lot of the CG scenes.
Oh, they had to have.
Yeah.
Or background, the environments, because I know there was a lot of work going into that.
Right. We'll see if we get anything else out of that. Okay, so Aquaman. Yeah, I meant to mention this earlier, since, like, whenever you mentioned Aquaman. Mm-hmm. Working on a spinoff movie. They're really going to try to milk this cow. Because they're working on a spinoff movie about the trench. I haven't seen any of Aquaman, so I don't know, like, how deep this goes.
So, essentially, we'll finish up with the news and I'll...
Oh, yeah. Movie in development. Just trench. Not a single one of the leads are going to be in this film.
That I think about it, the more sense that makes. Because we talked about this briefly on the pre-show. That if you go to patreon.com/podzilla1985, it's just a dollar, and you get it. Today was a long one.
That was 20 minutes of content.
We tend to just talk when we get together. But so I might be the only person in the entire, like, Podzilla 1985 network who has seen Aquaman.
That is accurate. Not for lack of trying.
Plus, including, like, the group chat. I think that extends to there, too.
It does.
Marcus
Theaters was against me watching that film.
Yeah. So, The Trench was probably one of the coolest parts of that movie, by far. It was a very awesome, like, visual sequence. Mm-hmm. The more that I think of it, if this is a prequel story, like, this is the origin of how The Trench became The Trench, because there is some lore mentioned in the Aquaman movie about what they originally were versus what they are now and things like that. That could be kind of interesting, but yeah, if they're just making they could almost make a horror movie out of it. If they're wanting to only do, like, what we saw in Aquaman. But it makes me think that it would have to be a prequel, which would then kind of make sense why none of the original cast would be there.
Yeah.
So this is one that, when I first read the headline, I was like, are you kidding me? But the more I think about it, the more I was like, okay, that could actually be kind of an interesting, like, little World of DC standalone story. I don't know if it merits the kind of budget and time for a full-length motion picture.
Yeah, I was about to say, because, yeah, they're working on, this is in development currently, mm-hmm. yet we still don't have any new, like, Flash is still on indefinite
the Cyborg, because limbo. All of the original cast of Justice League were supposed to get solo movies, which
we're not, like, yeah, we're not getting Superman at this point. Flash is, like I said, it's in limbo.
Mm-hmm.
Cyborg, we never even got an announcement that they're working on a Cyborg movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
recasting of Batman,
Yeah, Batman's being recast. The only, like, Aquaman and Wonder Woman are the only two people that are actually getting, you know, the movies exposure. And we're getting a Captain Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
Shazam. Yeah, no. He is not Captain Marvel anymore. He is Shazam.
Seeing the trailer before Lego Movie, I'm not excited for it, but, like,
gonna watch it.
Yeah, I'm gonna, like, I'll see that one in theaters too. But yeah,
like I said, I meant to see Aquaman in theaters. Mm-hmm. It's just Marcus Theaters was against me. They're like, no, nobody's going to get this one at the cheap price. You're gonna pay full price for it.
But yeah, the trend, it could be a cool thing. Like I said, I'll need to know more about it before I really.
Fair enough, because that's what all we have on it right now.
Is that it's just a
the Trench movie. Spinoff movie of Aquaman, and none of the lead actors are going to be in it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then a little bit here, like some spoiler-free stuff. I finally finished Punisher Season 2. Asa did the same. Yeah, finally finished Punisher Season 2. And let me tell you, friends, it started meh. It climaxed at meh, and then it finished at meh.
Yeah, incredibly underwhelming.
Actually, no, it finished at ugh. That's
yeah, especially when you compare it to the ending of Season 1.
Oh, yeah.
Season 1 had such an interesting dynamic of where that could go, of what is next for Frank Castle now that XYZ happened to him.
Yeah.
And this one, it's just plot holes and disappointment.
And just, like, nothing is interesting. Like, they made it. There was another one of the, is another Marvel season, 3 episodes too long. And had a lot of bits that absolutely didn't need stretching.
Mm-hmm.
So it really dragged in so many parts. And I wanted to like this one because I liked Season 1 so much.
It was really good.
And, you know, Jigsaw is a really, really cool villain, which, boy.
Worst Jigsaw.
Oh, my.
Worst Jigsaw from top to bottom. There were some very interesting elements, and there were some very interesting twists, but nothing played out well.
Yeah.
Like, they would introduce this idea that could be super neat, and then they just don't really do anything with it. And it's such a shame, because the actors who played Billy Russo and Krista,
yeah,
were amazing. And some of those, like, really emotional scenes were so incredibly well done. And that's when I was like, all right, and then it just kind of devolves into just generic bad guy. It's like, nope, that's not strong enough to, you need to give me more of that in all of this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it.
Disappointing.
Yeah, it was very disappointing.
Both storylines, if you guys remember my initial talks about it, like, there was another thing, mm-hmm, that I was more interested in than the Jigsaw storyline. That hit a point where it's like, oh, this is now stupid.
Yep.
And then it continued to get stupid. And it got interesting there for a hot second. And then it got terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then it finished stupid.
Yeah, I was very disappointed in how that all tied up.
Yeah, and like, the worst part about it is they tied up both of those storylines. Like, anticlimactic doesn't quite describe it.
Such a lackluster.
Like, they wrapped up both of those storylines. Like, they had kind of, like, we never really got a good climax for it. It was just, like, it was about where, you know, you'd hit that climactic point where it should have gone, I guess, technically it should have gone another episode, even though I just said that it went too long as it was. Because, like, you found out some stuff, you got some stuff going, and, like, stuff started. And then it could have, like, hit a real big point, and then the next episode, like, hit another real big point and finished off both of those storylines. Instead, you hit these two big points, and, well, you hit one big point, you miss a big point entirely, and both storylines are wrapped up in the course of about 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was very sudden in both of them. And it was so unsatisfying, too.
Yeah.
Because they both, like, you have these characters who have been through so much because these other characters have done so much. And it was just, man, I wanted more for them.
Yeah.
Especially
if I'm getting Frank Castle doing more.
Yeah.
Like, I expect a little bit more than, yeah.
Which, well, we can talk about after the show, because I kind of got that. Like, after everything that happened, you know what? I'm just done. So.
Yeah. No, I get it.
But yeah, it's like, it could have been, I don't know. But again, like, it was acted phenomenally. Like, everyone played their part really, really well. It's just the story wrapped around it was just so underwhelming.
Yep, agreed. So, yeah, no, that's I'm really glad we're getting another, like, if that had been the swan song for the Marvel Netflix series.
Oh, that'd been such a bummer.
Such a bummer. I'm really glad we're getting Jessica Jones season 3, mm-hmm. and I'm really hoping they don't screw the pooch with this one.
If it's the same showrunner as the first two, I'm very confident in it.
Same, because the first two seasons of Jessica Jones were incredible.
So good.
So you know, I'm hoping that like this one's still gonna be good. This is gonna be fun, because yeah, I do not want to go. Like I'm glad we're getting that because this would be a terrible note to go out on.
It would be a bummer.
Terrible note. Anyway, and then Asa watched. He mentioned earlier Lego Movie Part 2. So mm-hmm. he's gonna hit you with that spoiler free review.
It was really good. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one, which I wasn't surprised by, because like I said, the previously, the first Lego movie is one of my top, I'd put it probably in my top 10 of just favorite movies. The story was good. The amount of like, Andrew and I saw it, and we kind of talked about after the movie just how incredible the cast is, like yeah. just how many people they got for this movie.
Yeah, he had mentioned that. Like he's always surprised by the all-star cast that get pulled into these Lego movies.
And not even just for the cast, but like, the ending of the final song that's over the credits is The Lonely Island and Beck, which is nuts. That was actually probably my favorite part of the movie was the soundtrack. There's been a couple songs that I've had stuck in my head for since I've seen it.
Andrew mentioned that too. Like he said, there was a lot more musical numbers than
it was kind of a musical
expected, mm-hmm. which he wasn't upset about.
No, not at all. Like, because they were really, really good. And it was kind of entertaining, some of those characters. Like, I didn't think I would hear Charlie Day have a musical, like, sing in this movie.
In a Lego movie.
Or Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
So.
Who does Nick Offerman play?
He's Metalbeard.
Oh.
And he does change. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I always forget that it's Nick Offerman until there's, like, one word that he hits. And I was like, oh, yeah. Because he does, like, hide his voice.
Yeah, no, like well, he was apparently before he was Ron Swanson, he was a method actor.
Mm-hmm.
Like he talks about that, which always shocks me.
Well, he did an interview where they're like, what would you define, or how do you, any tips for being more manly? And he's like, you're confused. Like you have to remember, I am the theater ballet performer of my family. Like,
yeah, he's from Southern Illinois, but mm-hmm. Rural Southern Illinois, but at the same
like,
time,
he's like, I am the least manly person in my family. But then he goes on to talk about masculinity, which is cool because Nick Offerman is awesome.
Yes,
like as a human being, just I love him.
Absolutely.
But yeah, the movie was a lot of fun. I give it a full price in our rating system, especially if you like the first one, you're gonna enjoy this one. It does a really interesting thing where it's been 5 years since the first movie, so it's been 5 years in the movie time.
Mm-hmm.
They got like the original, like the little kid who played with, you know, his dad's Legos. Now he's older, and it's his younger sister who is also now older.
Which you could get pretty clearly from the previews that that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So, it was a lot of fun. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one, but the soundtrack and, full price.
Fair enough. All right, this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs and just fun conversation. James Monroe Iglehart. He is a Broadway actor. He's in Hamilton. He was in Aladdin. He's Thomas Jefferson in Hamilton. Looks like he's writing a Spider-Man story. So that's kind of neat.
But so this is going to be just like a one-off, right? A short one-shot?
Yeah, okay. not even just a one-shot. It's a short. There's going to be, it's in Marvel Comics Presents. They're bringing that back, and it's going to be an issue number 3. He's going to get a small story in that. Apparently Charles Soule is getting a story in that, which to me personally was bigger news, especially if it's Spider-Man, because I loves me some Charles Soule.
He's so good.
So good.
I still can't just bring myself to like take Curse Words off my pull list.
No, I don't blame you, because Curse Words is really good, even if I'm like 9 issues behind.
Oh, I'm so far behind.
That is March 27th for the fans out there that would be interested in having a little bit of, because that's going to be his first comic book. So, yeah, I mean, that could be big deal later on, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, March 27th, Marvel Comics Presents number 3. And it's, man, you know, it was a slow week in comic books when the biggest story out there was about all these corporations taking sides of Marvel versus DC. Apparently, yeah. Wendy's is DC.
No, Wendy's is Marvel.
Oh, okay.
Someone asked... someone asked Marvel or DC, and they said Marvel, which then led to a number of tweets of various creators on either side eating that fast food. DC had a couple people that were eating Burger King and McDonald's, and then there was like a whole table of Marvel people eating Wendy's.
Yeah, and then like Little Debbie got involved. Like we don't really pick sides here. We just want everybody to get along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that company's social media game is weak. You are a coward.
You will not take a stance.
That's okay. That's what I wish we had more money and time and availability to do stuff, because now I really want to do a full-on Podzilla 1985. We get everyone together, and it's a debate show. Marvel versus DC.
Versus Podzilla 1985.
I don't know if it would be that. And if we have to, you know, kind of do some like a debate club thing where you are assigned.
Signed
side. You are assigned a side, so you have to defend that side, even if that's not necessarily.
No, I've wanted to do that show for a long time. I just can't because, like, it's one of those things. Like, I have valid points and I can pull up stuff all over the place, but when it's 1-on-9, it's not going to go real well.
Right.
Because when it comes to comic books, everybody else in the show is...
And it wouldn't be just, like, it wouldn't just be comics. It would be all encapsulating just all media. We're doing Marvel versus DC. And I think that might actually is what would especially pull some people to the Marvel side.
Yeah.
Because they don't care about the comics, but clearly MCU blows Worlds of DC out of the water.
Right. But really, that's, as far as popular opinion goes, I think that's the only category they win in. Because you look at cartoons and...
I don't know. The Spider-Man and X-Men Evolution even.
Yeah, no, those were great. But then you have Batman, the animated series.
I know, but I'm
and
just...
And Justice League.
I'm just saying, I don't think it would be as skewed as you might think.
And Young Justice.
Oh, Young Justice.
And Teen Titans. Like, no, I get you.
I'm trying to help, Jesse.
Because I loved that Spider-Man cartoon and that X-Men cartoon. They were both so good back in the 90s. But then, yeah, you look at the 90s and you compare that to, like, Batman the Animated Series and Justice League. And it's like, ooh.
All right, well, you heard it here, folks. DC's better than Marvel. Official Podzilla 1985 opinion.
Yeah, easy.
No, it's fine. What's the next news story?
You suck.
What do we got in comics?
I'm going to go get me some Wendy's. No, I can't eat Wendy's.
Yet another point to DC.
Dang it. I need another company. Some other fast food. Taco Bell. Please be pro Marvel.
Oh.
That would make me so happy. all right. So, that's it for comic books. This next portion of our podcast is brought to you by of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content and their social media links at ps2jshow.com. Last Wednesday of every month. Good Lord, I can't make it through anything. Last Wednesday of every month is their history of gaming episodes, and they are all really good, really well-researched, and just a fun time. Check those out.
I think I saw something on Facebook that either their last one that they did or the one that's coming up is Tetris.
I'm guessing that's the one coming up.
It might be the one coming up.
I didn't see that announcement.
Because that'll be cool.
That'll be a really interesting show. Mm-hmm. All right. So the biggest thing for video games this week is obviously the new Warhammer action RPG.
Oh, no.
Chaos Bane. It's coming out. Like, this isn't entirely a joke, folks. Yes, though, there's bigger gaming news this week. It's Apex Legends. Spoiler alert. But first, I want to talk about this game for a second. Looks like Warhammer is working on a Diablo-style game. Like, not quite Diablo, like, with the dungeon crawler aspect, but kind of similar. But, yeah, Warhammer Chaos Bane's coming June 4th, 2019 to Xbox, PlayStation, and PC.
Do you hear that slight just screaming in the distance? That's my wallet. I am on the verge of Warhammer. That is the most expensive hobby you can have. And yes, I am including collecting classic cars.
You know, it absolutely
art.
Can be.
But yeah, there's just something about that aesthetic that I can't that it gets me. Like, I was proud of myself because I didn't go to Best Buy and buy the other starter pack for Starlink because it's on sale right now. And that's the only way to get that ship. I didn't do it. Jesse, ask me how many hours I put into Starlink.
Asa, have you put greater than 0 hours into Starlink yet?
I have not put greater than 0 seconds into Starlink yet.
Oh.
It's installed on my Switch, but I haven't played it. I just like those ships, and it's the same thing with, like, but Warhammer, and I don't understand that the tabletop game. Scale. I don't understand anything about it. There's just something about that aesthetic that I really dig, and I cannot allow myself to fall into that hole because I can't, like, I would not do well on the streets. I wouldn't. So this
you'd have your Warhammer set to keep you company on the streets.
Yeah, and it's not going to keep me warm because it's just cold, hard plastic. So them having a Diablo style game as that entry point, I we talked about it during Terminator, and I have tried to soften my opinions on things that don't necessarily immediately affect me. I hope this sucks. I am sorry to the Warhammer community, but I need this to not be good.
Asa doesn't need that gateway.
Exactly.
No, I understand. I understand. No, it could be really neat. And I also like the Warhammer aesthetic a lot. I just never will get into Warhammer, the tabletop game, because the cheapest way to get two people into that is like $100.
Yeah. Maybe I can hit up my roommate and, you know, break however many laws that I'm sure this is a nightmare for Warhammer, but be like, hey, just I will buy you the material to 3D print things.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that is a hard blow to that industry.
Almost potentially, certainly. But yeah. Well, then again, like, because those Warhammer figures are detailed. And, like, there's only so much you can get with a home 3D printer.
But think of how happy Trevor would be when I told him, like, hey, I'm getting into Warhammer. You want to paint these for me?
No, Trevor would actually be really upset with you about that, because then Trevor would want to get into Warhammer. Trevor has a very addictive personality.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he would never play World of Warcraft with me, because he knew.
That's for the best.
Yeah, no, he knew that he would lose his soul to it. So he refused to play, not out of disinterest or anything along those lines.
But he knew once he took that first hit,
yeah,
he'd be tracing that World of Warcraft dragon.
I barely got him to play City of Champions with me back in the day. And it's probably a good thing for both of us that shortly after we got into it, they shut the servers down.
Well, Jesse, look. The First Strike, a Warhammer 40K starter set. It's ideal starter set for Warhammer 40K. 15 easy-to-build miniatures. 2 booklets. That's only $40.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to get another person to play with you, it's going to be $80. Plus, we got to buy a board.
Oh, look, it's $15 for these three things. It's just three figures.
That you have to paint.
But look how cool they look.
But you can customize your own army. They can have whatever paint style you want. You just have to paint it.
The purple wave is coming.
But anyway, so yeah, that's a Warhammer. That could be really cool. Obviously, Microsoft, they're planning Xbox Live for the Switch, iOS, and Android, which...
This could either be like revolutionary, or it could just be like the Xbox app I have on my phone. Right. I've seen so many people talk about this and like reports on what it could be. And that's pretty much the range of people are talking about, like, oh, if you're playing Minecraft on your Switch, you can unlock achievements on your Xbox account.
Yeah.
And then, but then there's other people that's just like, no, you can just check your account
list.
And your friends list and stuff on your Switch, because Nintendo's not going to just like give up on their online stuff. Like, people speculating that, oh, Xbox Live is going to take over the online services for Nintendo. Like, that's not going to happen.
It's not, but boy, I wish it would.
Oh, boy. Oh boy, yeah.
I saw somebody online the other day defending peer-to-peer for fighting games, saying that was the best solution for fighting games.
Yeah, and I saw people like launch firecrackers out their butt.
No, I just
doesn't mean
that,
we should
like,
pay attention to that, what their opinions are.
Because some guy, like, you know, because I look at Reddit comments because I'm some kind of masochist or something, but I saw somebody in there talking about, like, oh, finally maybe Smash Online will be playable, and you know, somebody was like, no, man, peer-to-peer is the best way to do it. It's just, that's just gonna be, that's the nature of the beast. And I wanted to like reply to that guy, like, you realize like every other big time fighting game has a way better online system,
mm-hmm,
than Super Smash Brothers. Like, I just, like, I get there. They, you can have, like, fans, you can defend stuff, but there's certain things you just have to accept, like,
as fact, yeah.
Yeah, like, no, this is bad. They're doing a bad job at it, and it could be much better.
Apparently, an image of Will Smith as Blue Genie has either leaked or been released.
Breaking news, folks.
I'll slide that down to you. Because I'm seeing a lot of tweets of,
oh no,
HBO's Watchmen making some strong choices.
Oh.
James Cameron's Avatar looks like it needs some work.
Oh no.
Yeah,
that's gross.
It ain't great, kids.
It's nice to know they didn't have to change the ears, though.
Yeah.
That was a shot at Will Smith.
Seems like a lovely man.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Who will never recover over turning down the role of Neo.
No. Anyway, yeah, that's disgusting looking. That is not good. That might be better in motion. Hopefully that's just a fan work.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I can't speak to its authenticity, but I now have three people that I follow on Twitter who have posted it along with a joke. So,
All right. So, the biggest news of the week, though. Oh yeah, to finish that, I really hope that it's just Xbox taking over Nintendo's online. That would just be so far preferable to
what we're getting
right now. Though it's apparently, at the very least, it's supposed to, from my understanding, the most likely scenario is it's just supposed to help with crossplay. So anything that's crossplay with Microsoft, you can have an Xbox Live account on your Switch, your Android phone, iOS, so that you can do like Fortnite with your Xbox buddies.
Yeah.
That's the most likely scenario, but we'll see what happens. All right. Apex Legends. So Respawn announced they're working on a game, and it's not Titanfall 3. Mm-hmm. Like they're not working on Titanfall 3. They've been working on this title, Apex Legends. They announced it, they released it, and it blew up. Is bully to a point where you had in the first 8 hours, it had 1 million unique players.
Yes. Keyword there, unique.
Yeah.
That unique means 1 million separate people
downloaded
and played the game.
That number jumped to 2.5 million inside the first 24 hours.
Again, and unique players.
Unique players. as of 3 days ago, 10 million unique players, which that number has likely gone up.
Was that one unique players, the yes. 10 million?
Yeah, it was 10 okay. million unique players, or at least 10 million unique accounts. So okay. it, that's not necessarily unique players, but anyway, because it could be people playing on, you know, Xbox and then trying it on PC and PS4, etc. And it hit 1 million concurrent, though,
which
as of 3 days
huge.
Ago. Yeah, that had it had more than 1 million people playing simultaneously. It blew up, and they went on about like a lot of the reasonings for doing it this way. They wanted to make sure that everyone knew EA had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
They did not want to hit that news cycle where people are talking about like, oh, EA is working on a battle royale game, which yeah, I guess now we should probably talk about what kind of game it is.
It's a hero based class based battle royale first person shooter.
Yeah,
you have like I think it's like 8 characters to choose from. Each has their own set of abilities, and it's squads of 3.
Yep.
So unlike Fortnite and Blackout, there is no solo duos squad. You're always in a squad of 3.
And it'll matchmake you if you don't have people.
Right.
And it introduced one of the coolest things that I got out of this, and I kind of hope this gets added to some other squad-based games.
The ping system?
The ping system.
Yeah.
The ping system looks really, really cool. Like, I talked about this a lot on the pre-show. And everybody's heard me talk about it on any show that I'm on. Battle Royale games, they're not for me. Like, I understand that I'm wrong, but I cannot get into Battle Royale games. I don't have fun with them.
Yeah.
I cannot enjoy them. Like, doesn't matter, like, who I'm playing with. The most fun I got out of Fortnite was when me and Kevin Schenkelberg, shout out to my homie, we were on Fortnite. And we had a whole lot of fun building up this fort and just goofing around in this game. And then, of course, you know, the zones changed and we had to abandon. Like, it took us almost too much time to get out of the fort because we had made a pretty intense one. That was the limit of our fun. We did not want to continue playing the game, though. Like, it was not for us.
Right.
But this
the nature
game,
of the randomness of what loot you're going to find and stuff like that, it's...
Yep. You know, if you're going to put weapons on the map, make them the same weapons in the same spot every time.
Yep.
Go classic Halo. Classic shooter on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Halo and a bunch of other shooters like Quake yeah. and all those other kind of games that used to do that method. Anyway, it looks really, really neat. They've done a lot of neat things with it. Like I said, that ping system looks super cool. I do kind of hope that goes into other titles.
They recognize that teamwork is essential to this game.
Mm-hmm.
So they made it as easy as possible to communicate with your teammates without actually having to be on mic with a bunch of people you don't know. Clearly, it's going to work better if you're playing with people you can speak with, and especially if you can get, you know, a group of friends who you are familiar with and everything.
Right.
It'll be better. But this ping system that he's talking about is it's one button press, and it essentially calls out what you see to their screen. Oh, there's an enemy over behind that building. If you get your button press in time, it then highlights that enemy for your teammates to also see. Same thing with, oh, there's a chest over here. Or, hey, there's some level 2 armor here. And it actually gets as specific as naming what exact item it is. So if you're looking for heavy ammo or something, because that's another thing, is there's an element of inventory management because you have a very small inventory.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for one specific type of ammo for your gun and someone calls out, oh, hey, it's not just, oh, there's ammo here. It's, oh, there's energy ammo here. Oh, there's heavy ammo here, which I think is, I mean, that's kind of revolutionary to be that detailed and that seemingly easy to use. I currently have it downloading on my Xbox right now. I might jump in for a couple matches tonight just to kind of get a feel for it. I've seen quite a bit of gameplay of it, and it looks, again, it's a battle royale. I'm very similar to you in that, like, that kind of randomness has screwed me more than once. That has greatly impacted my enjoyment of those games.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, I think the main reason I don't really like Fortnite is just because I'm so bad at the building. But to jump back to what you said earlier, so this looks like it is from all accounts, this is an incredibly polished, like, this is a full game.
Yeah.
This isn't some PUBG early access, we're in beta. This isn't a... half-baked mode that, you know, EA had already delayed the Battle Royale for Battlefield 5.
Yeah.
This is a standalone, free-to-play, by all accounts, AAA, fully finished title with incredible amounts of polish, which is awesome to see. But EA was also, or Respawn, excuse me, was very smart in that the way this game shadow dropped for a reason. They didn't want to just put this game in the hands of a number of influencers and people and media outlets for a cycle to come out of, hey, because listen to this headline, that this is what the headline would be, and imagine the comment section. EA, working with Respawn, is putting out a free-to-play battle royale game that includes loot boxes and microtransactions.
Yep. Nobody's going to play that game.
That is going to be buried alive.
Yeah.
As opposed to what they did of just, hey, here's this game, go play it. And people are like, oh, whoa, no, this is actually really good and really interesting. And it's different enough from other Battle Royale stuff that's on the market now.
Because, it's not just a straight-up clone of Fortnite or PUBG.
Right.
Like, it is definitely...
It would be like saying that Halo is a clone of GoldenEye.
Right.
Like, now we're just... This is a new genre that we have.
And it really is, like, this is definitely the most interesting take I've seen on Battle Royale so far.
Mm-hmm.
I am almost interested enough to play it,
mm-hmm.
but then I was talking to Calvin, and some of the things that really turn me off of Battle Royale games are still present, and in some cases worsened.
Like what?
The mods, apparently, that you can pick up, like, in addition to, like, weapons and everything,
mm-hmm.
there are mods that you can pick up for your characters, like character mods.
Extended mags and better scopes and
stuff like that. And apparently that is more critical than any of the loot that you find, and they're rarer. And they're more impactful.
Yeah.
Which, to me, like, and I'm saying this, like, this is a report from a report. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot verify any of that information as true, but if it's even a little bit true, that's enough to turn me off of the game.
Yeah.
But like, it's not like, I'm sure that people out there that like battle royale games will enjoy it. I know Steven was talking to me about it a little while ago. He's actually put quite a bit of time into it now, because he actually, like, he does not like battle royale games either. He couldn't get into Fortnite or PUBG, but he's been playing this one. He actually, from what he says, in his second time out, he won, like, got number one. And he's been having an absolute blast with it because it has got a lot of the Titanfall movement stuff going on inside the move, inside the classes, and the classes are all, like, you know, pretty varied and unique, which keeps it really fun. So yeah, by all accounts, this seems like the most different and, in my opinion, the most interesting take on the battle royale genre that we've gotten.
Like I said, I think just adding the class system.
Yeah, that, like, was a huge change.
Every other battle royales, you're all just the same character.
You look different, but everybody is exactly the same at their core.
Whereas, you know, now, and, you know, there's going to, it's new enough that there really hasn't been a meta set that, okay, you have to have one of these three. They all kind of seem, again, this is from an outsider's perspective, they all kind of seem unique enough that they're all viable, but.
And the class system also is why you're forced into three-man squads.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's a support class. I'm sure there's like a tankier class, that kind of thing. So,
not necessarily tanky as much as like has access, like Gibraltar has access to a shield.
Right.
And like the bulletproof dome bubble that's kind of a staple in shooters now. There is a healer class and stuff like that.
Which, yeah, so it makes sense that you want to have, you know, they like a squad. Like, if you're going to have those kind of roles in your character classes, it makes sense to have squad based, as opposed to, like, if you could do solos, well, the healer's never going to be there.
Right.
Like, nobody's going to pick healer in a solo battle. And it will probably come down to, like, there's one or two classes that are absolutely, like, the only two classes that you can really play if it was solo. But, you know, putting in a three-man squad opens it
classes,
up. Yeah. The three-man squad opens up, you know, some strategy and some stuff there that you can kind of, like, coordinate with your teammates. Sounds neat. Like, an extra layer of thinking to the game, basically.
Yeah. And especially with, like I said, the whole, because I'm, Shannon enjoys, he liked Blackout for Black Ops. And I liked playing with him, but just the time, the amount of times that, like, our free time that we could play together lines up is so rare. Like, I feel like I could probably get him to play, and then we would just have a third person. That ping system makes it seem like so much better, so the two of us can communicate while also being able to be informed by and also inform our random.
Yeah.
Like, what works better. A couple other notes coming from this release and everything is they did announce that, you know, a lot of people assume that we're working on Titanfall 3. We are not. Their attention's going to Titanfall, or their attention is going to Apex Legends. They also said that, oh, well, that doesn't mean that we aren't working on something Titanfall related. I feel like that is going to be, because this is all in the Titanfall universe, worth pointing out. I think that just means that eventually there's going to be like a mode that includes a Titan, or, you know, a team of Titans, or maybe another map or something.
That might bring me in.
There's also like, there's been rumors of a mobile game, which I would hate to see. Like, again, I'm personally very bummed that we're getting a battle royale game instead of Titanfall 3 because Titanfall 2 was criminally underplayed. It was put out at the worst possible time between Battlefield and Call of Duty. But like, I loved that game. It was very frustrating at times, but holy crap, did I have fun with it?
Yeah, no, it was one of those games, like Titanfall 2, I always talked about, like, most of the time I was frustrated, but whenever I pulled off something awesome,
it was
a feeling that was great enough that it carried me through all the crap to the next time I managed to do something awesome.
Yeah.
Just because the movement allowed for it, and, you know, you got to set up a bunch of really cool stuff. And I think had I put more time into it, I would have eventually gotten, like, with Call of Duty, like, I would have gotten adjusted to it and, you know, actually been pretty decent at it, but I just, I think it was like Call of Duty came out, and because that was the Infinite, or not Infinite, it was the World War II, right? Wasn't it?
Actually, I think it was Infinite Warfare.
Because we did not put time into Infinite Warfare.
No, we did not. But something else had come out. Was it Overwatch?
Maybe.
I'm gonna,
because something
gonna
came
up
out that distracted us from Titanfall 2, but I don't remember what it was.
See.
May have been Overwatch. Or Battleborn. Battleborn came out before Overwatch, and that pulled us out of some stuff.
Let's see. When did it come out? Why isn't it telling me that?
Something else came out.
Oh, say, so it came out in October of 16.
Okay.
Call of Duty 2016.
Yeah, 2016 would have been...
That was Infinite Warfare. Let me see when
really?
Battleborn... Mm-hmm.
Cause oh yeah no 2018 I'm already in like 2019 yeah 2018 was Black Ops 4, 2017 was World War 2, and yeah so 2016 would have been Infinite Warfare, because yeah. No it definitely came out right next to it,
but something came out that totally
took us away from it.
It was Overwatch. We just went back to Overwatch because Battleborn came out in May of 2016.
Oh okay,
so Overwatch would have come out just like a month later.
Yeah.
Weeks later.
And we probably got pulled back in on like an event or something like that.
It didn't tell me what date Titanfall 2 came out. It just said October 2016. So I think that is what.
Because, yeah, Overwatch came out in like right after Battleborn. It would have been.
Yeah, it was like a week later.
Yeah, something like that.
Because we didn't have a whole lot of time with it.
And it was one of those things like we really thought the Battleborn was going to be better than Overwatch.
I don't know if we ever thought that. We just. Actually, I'm pretty sure we all knew it wasn't going to be because it was Blizzard. So we just kind of were like, man, why are they just trying to piggyback on this? Like, maybe they got something special here, which they did, because those were not the same game at all.
No, they were not.
They were just hero-based first-person shooters.
I remember us having several shows where we were talking about...
I was more excited for Battleborn than I was for Blizzard, or than I was for Overwatch, just because I didn't have that connection to Blizzard.
And we talked about, like, yeah, there were a lot of things about Battleborn.
That was the, Borderlands people.
Yeah, Gearbox.
I was totally blanking on Borderlands. Like, yeah, no, they made Borderlands. This is going to be amazing.
And it was so much fun. Like, the campaign was really fun. Like, the game was really fun. It just, Overwatch, like, the games, it was a MOBA, so the games took forever. Whereas Overwatch, we could just jump in, play a 10-minute game,
out,
but, be done with it. And being able to change our characters and stuff like that was really fun.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it became Overwatch.
Right. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
We're in the future also. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to, like I said, I'm probably going to play a game or two tonight just to kind of check it out and see how well the ping system works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another thing. Another thing that I like about it is you jump as a squad. You have one person in charge of actually deploying. You can make suggestions of like where you want to go, but the one person defines where you jump out. You can split after that, but it's not a thing of, oh, I jumped out 30 seconds after my teammates and now we're separated and never going to be together.
Yeah,
which, of course, now with this one having classes and things, it's going to be, you're a little bit more incentive to stick together. So, I'll try it tonight, depending on how it goes. And the biggest thing to this story, though, is I think it's sustainability. Because it will, it's being watched on Twitch and streamed on Twitch and Mixer and platforms like that. Its numbers are huge there. It's surpassing Fortnite, but then Fortnite took it back because it really is just going to be how much of an audience does it take from Fortnite?
Yeah.
I think Fortnite's still like, and a lot of people think that Fortnite is still going to be the number one. This is mostly going to go after like PUBG and Blackout. Like now it's a race for second. So,
and honestly, like it could take a whole lot of Fortnite out depending on, because a lot of people that play Fortnite, there are a lot of things that they dislike about it, and a lot of that being parts of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And those parts of the community may not want to jump over to Apex.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
also,
I don't know.
Also, apparently some of the like updates to it, like people are not happy with planes and some of the building things, I guess, that have been changed in recent seasons.
No, fair enough.
So, but now that there's like a viable, truly viable alternative that is free to play, because that, again, is a huge deal.
Yeah, because you look at like PUBG and Blackout, like even when props to Blizzard, they did eventually release like just the Blackout mode for $30. So mm-hmm. You got Blackout and multiplayer for $30,
mm-hmm.
which is the same price as PUBG.
Yeah.
So that really just like cut into new PUBG customers hard.
Yep.
Because if you look at it, like, do I want to go PUBG or do I want to go Blackout? It's going to be Blackout.
Yeah, just there's less maps, and like PUBG has more maps, but just quality of the game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at like
still incredibly rough, apparently.
Yeah, PUBG is not improving at the rate it should be for how many players it had.
Mm-hmm. Although, if you go by the Black Ops 4 subreddit, Treyarch is a minute away from shuttering its windows, and they put out a barely out of alpha game.
what?
Yeah, no. Like, this is the least amount of content we've ever gotten. Like, I don't know what any of y'all are talking about, but...
Yeah, like, did they play the same game?
it's baffling, but it's going to be super interesting to see, I think.
Yep.
Just as someone who kind of follows trends and...
Yeah, no, we'll have to see.
Follows trends in the sense, like, oh, so that's what's going on. Neat.
Yeah, no, we'll have to see what happens with it.
I'm going to go back to Assassin's Creed Odyssey now.
Going back to Overwatch, I guess, which actually I haven't played in a while now. It's about time for a relapse. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us this week. If you've been playing Apex Legends, let us know, especially if you play a bunch of the Battle Royale games. Let us know what your favorite is.
Also, like, straight up, I will put it on the Twitter and I will comment on this post on Facebook because I don't remember what my Xbox Live handle is. But if you want to play Apex Legends, send me a message. Because I would like to be able to play with people that aren't, you know, randoms. Even if we don't know you. Like Zane. Zane, I don't know you in person. Like, I know you because we're friends with you on Facebook and you've been a longtime fan and I love you. But I don't know you, but I'd play with you if you have time.
So there you go. You guys want to play with the five-star man.
Because it is the five-star man, but I don't remember if it's spelled out or if it's the number.
I think it's the number.
I think it is, but there's that. So the Xbox app that I could just pull up on my Switch soon will tell me. But yeah, because I would...
Yeah, hit Ace up on Twitter.
They did say that cross-progression will not be a thing. They're open to cross-play being a thing, but apparently like there were choices made very early on in the game that makes it to where cross progression will probably be impossible. I don't know what that means, but technical stuff. Also, I am the 5-star man. It's all spelled out though. There's no, it's not the number.
Not the number.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. Add me on Xbox Live and like shoot me a message.
Hit him up on Twitter. Cause he's not always on his Xbox.
That's also, yeah. Twitter or Facebook or even the Podzilla messages or anything like that. We'll get those.
There you go. And yeah, like I said, hit up that Facebook right there, facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Let us know what battle royale game you've been playing. If you've been playing Apex, do you think it's a Fortnite killer? Or at least a PUBG killer? Or I guess put the last nail in that coffin.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what I was going to say. So yeah, hit us up on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about battle royale games. See if you can convince Jesse to play a battle royale game. Also, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/podzilla1985. It is $1 to get our pre-shows. There was 20-minute pre-show this morning. I say this morning. this evening. an hour ago. Anyway, that's going to do it for us, though. We'll see you guys next time. Later.